This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, joined by John Squires. We are talking Thanksgiving football and more. The big holiday coming up here. I guess it's on Thursday, right, John? Is that when we have it scheduled?
Yeah, you get it, Billy. And you know how I feel about Thanksgiving Day football. I listened to you guys last night in the show. I thought you did a great job talking about the games coming up. But, you know, high school football is a real rarity. I was looking on some line, and in the East Coast, especially Massachusetts, Massachusetts has more Thanksgiving Day football games than anywhere in the country. There is a lot of places that play. They don't play in Texas. The playoffs there at this time of year and so forth. So it's a big rival, and it's a big tradition here on the North Shore.
Yeah. I don't think it's anywhere else in New England. I don't think it's a New York State. I think New Jersey has some Thanksgiving football. Maybe Pennsylvania, but I'm not sure about
Maine
that.
Maine still has one game up there. I know they have the Lewiston game up there, the Portland area. They have one game up there that's a traditional game.
Thanksgiving. We got the Cowboys. I remember as a kid not living in this area, the Cowboys team or Detroit were always playing on Thanksgiving. That's kind of what I kind of remember early on. And, all right, so... I assume you're going to be in Marblehead on Thanksgiving.
Well, I'm certainly hoping to be, if they let me off from work, but I would love to be over there because I think, as you guys said last night, it's going to be a war. And there's no love lost, and you guys hit right the nail on the head. There's no love lost between the two communities when it comes to football. The rivalry is very close. I was looking up. I've seen three or four different stats, but the one that seems to be the biggest one is 53 wins from Marblehead, 51 wins from Swampscott, and 7 ties. So it's very close. In fact, state-wise, it's the second closest rival as far as closeness in games, as far as the records for both teams in the state. So it's going to be a great game over there, Bill. Yeah.
You know, we were talking about that game, and I for Swampscott, they have to play the game of the year, I think. I don't think they're going to catch Marblehead down. You know, I just don't think that's going to happen on Thanksgiving. I don't think Coach Rudloff will let that happen. But, you know, when you have the offense that Swampscott has, when you have Colin Frary, You don't know really what can happen at a big game, at a big event. And, of course, they're on the road. And, you know, I don't know how that plays, but you never know how that plays either. You just never know.
Absolutely. And Colin Frary leads the state, incidentally, in touchdown passes with 31. The record at Swampscott is 39 by Kyle Beatrice, unless he has a phenomenal day, which is very, very unlikely. He leads the state, so he can throw the ball. The thing about Marblehead, too, is don't let Coach Rudloff pull any wool under anybody's rug. As he was saying that, we haven't faced a lot of teams with a spread. They're very talented. They got an outstanding coaching staff over there. They've had 2 full weeks or at least a week and a half to get ready for Swampscott, and don't think they're not going to be ready to take care of the spread offense. And they have some weapons over there. And those linebackers and defense of Marblehead, as you talked about last night, you guys, they're very, very tough. Aiden Gillis, one of the best linebackers. I continue to say that. He's only played 6 games, but he's one of the best linebackers in the state. And they have a horde of other guys with some real good players over there, and they're ready. They'll be ready to go.
Oh, yeah, and it's, of course, as we mentioned, in Marblehead. Where else should we go, John?
Let's go right over way to Manning Bowl. I think that's going to be the game of the day. 2 of the best teams around. You got 8-2 Classical. Brian Vaughn's done a great job over there. Chris Carroll, 9-1 at Lynn English. They could be playing in the Super Bowl, and that's going to be a war, and you guys are going to do it, and we're going to do it on MSO. So you and Timmy, that should be a great ball game. There's a lot of different weapons there. It's going to be very interesting to see how many points are on the board because there's 2 very, very good defenses over there, but they also can put points on the board. They have a lot of offensive weapons, so I think that's going to be a great football game.
Yeah, and as I mentioned the other night, it was a great football game for the last number of years. And defenses, I think you keyed on that. That's been one of the strengths from both of these teams. So that's the Classical English game, and if you're looking for updates on any of the games around the North Shore on Thanksgiving, tune into that game because that's where we'll have our updates on Channel A. Marty will be in Salem for the Salem-Beverly game, and we'll have updates on all the other games as well during our Lynn English, Lynn Classical broadcast, which is, again, the radio broadcast on Channel A.
Yeah, exactly. And the last one we can really touch upon, because there's a lot of great games. We don't want to spend all morning on it. But the Salem-Beverly game, I find that a very intriguing game. Salem hasn't won in 7 years. Beverly leads the overall series. I think it's 60-51, something like that. It's very close. They've had a lot of great games. They've had a lot of upsets in that rivalry. So I look for Beverly to be ready. They've only won 3 games. Very unlikely coming into Thanksgiving you have a Beverly team that's only won 3 games. So I think Coach Morency will have Beverly ready to go. They call it the game on the North Shore. Everybody feels that their hometown has the game, but that certainly is one of the key matchups on the North Shore.
Well, the game is that game has certainly lost some of its luster the last few years, but But one of the things about that game was, is if you had a Salem, for example, years ago, coming in at 6-4 or 8-2, and Beverly coming in, you know, with maybe, you know, two games behind them, so to speak, in the standings at 5-5 or whatever the records might have been at those times. Those were, you could compare those records because they were playing the same schedule more or less. Now it's a different schedule. That was what brought up the other night, which I thought was relevant. Beverly plays a harder schedule than Marblehead. Take nothing away, because you can look at comparative scores, Salem and Beverly, and they're right there with one another. So it should be an even game. The records, Salem has a better record, as we've been mentioning, but 6-4. But on the other hand, Beverly at 3-7, that's a tougher 3-7, but yet it should be a great game.
Yeah, absolutely. Another point I wanted to stress upon is you had some coaches like Kenny Perrone who really sold programs. They were real salesmen. Kenny Perrone could sell ice to the Eskimos, and so couldn't Stan Bonnie leverage the Swampscott. So they got the entire team involved. It was a real marketing tool. They really made it sound like it was the most important thing other than your family in the whole world, and that's very important. And I'm not saying anything against these young coaches, but it takes a while to develop that reputation. Kenny Perrone came down from Maine with an unbelievable reputation, and he proved it when he dressed 100 kids every day. You don't think that was intimidating? Stan Bonnie leverage. I was looking the other day, my senior year or my sophomore year, there were 95 people in the band, and you had everybody involved, so the whole town was there. So I think it has a lot to do with your marketing. It still has lost a little bit of that, and once again, I think you're right, Bill. The Northeastern Conference, it used to be everybody played. There was one champion. Everybody knew who it was, and it was not broken down into tiers, and I do have some strong feelings. I'd like to see it go back to that, but we're not going to see that in our day and age.
Doesn't seem like it. And I always like to, you know, the you look at the, for example, we started with Marblehead Swampscott. How many years was that league? Was there a league title kind of decided on that game? And what a great! I mean, there were upsets in that game, big upsets in that Swampscott Marblehead back years ago in that game, and there were league titles on the line. And you know, maybe not so much with Salem Beverly at the point, but I think there was at some points. But you just don't get that. And now the way it's structured, you can't really have a league title. You know, what's interesting, I suppose the only league title on the North Shore on Thanksgiving to be decided would be Ipswich Hamilton Wenham, and all that's kind of aftermath from the whole playoff picture. So it's kind of like, oh yeah, there's a league title at stake. Well, what's a league title mean? That's the day and age we're living in. It used to mean everything.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and you talk about that, and being a historian for the Swampscott Marblehead game, I can remember two in particular. One of them being in 1963 when Swampscott came in undefeated with Ronnie Carkin, who later became the football coach and AD at Triton, and they went up 14-0 over at Marblehead at the old field behind the high school, and then Jake Healy went off and had 240 yards, and Swampscott upset. Marblehead upset Swampscott 35-14. The other one is my senior year. We were ranked, and it was way overrated, but of course Stan was a politician. We were rated fifth in the country with Dick Geron and Tommy Toner and some great, great players. And we went in, and it was 6-0 at halftime, and Marblehead came 3-5. And I'm saying to myself, we're not going to get this streak broken now and being beaten by Marblehead. Well, Dick Geron took care of it, and some of the rest of us, and we had a pretty good game. We ended up winning 40-0. But there have been some great upsets in that, and I remember some of those, and specifically playing. The other thing I want to touch upon, but it's really a day for seniors. I was just going through all the starting lineups. The average amount of seniors that start of the eight games I took a look at the North Shore is 7 on offense and defense. So seniors get a chance to play that day. In fact, I love what Coach Monagle's doing over at Masco, which is an unknown fact. He's starting an entire senior defensive team, everyone that starts in defense against Everett, and they may need 15 players to stop Everett, but still, there is a senior. And I remember a famous story is I remember my junior year, we went into Marblehead undefeated, and a backup to Dick Geron at the time, they moved Geron over to right halfback, was a kid by the name of Bobby Rebels. And we went in to Marblehead undefeated, and Marblehead had only won 3 games, and Rebels ran for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns as we won 24-6. So seniors do have their day, and there are names around the North Shore that you'll live with this game forever. We talk about it, but it is a day for seniors. That's what I love about Thanksgiving football. It gives everybody an opportunity. There are a lot of great sophomores and juniors and even freshmen nowadays. But still, it's a day for seniors.
I'm Bill Newell, along with John Squires, talking about Thanksgiving football. How about some player notes, John, as we look ahead to this to the holiday?
Well, some of the key matches, let's go back to the Swampscott Marblehead game. Colin Frary is going to have a monster day. And I think Jake McIntyre, who's had a great season, is going to have to really show up on the field, as well as the rest of the receivers. In Marblehead, you have Aiden Gillis, who is going to lead the defense, along with Tommy Cronin, a sophomore, incidentally, who's really coming into his own lately. And then, of course, Andy Clough. Andy Clough, 6'7", 240 pounds, and he probably will play tight end at Middlebury. But the thing is, our receiver, but he's another key. Let's go over to Lynn English. You've got Matt Severance, and I think Pierce Brown really hurt them not playing in that playoff game against Tewksbury. He's a key, and Keith Ridley for Classical. Let's go over to West Salem. You got Vinny Gaskin, who has almost 1,400 yards. He leads the North Shore in rushing with 1,377 yards. He's a key. Over the prep, Icy Preem, he has almost 1,200 yards for the prep. And Matt Crowley, who started, he's coming as a quarterback over there. And then we can go on and on. You go down to St. Mary's. You got Calvin Johnson, who's going to be a key in that game. Corey Bright may play in the Fenwick game. That will make a difference in that ball game. And you go over to Danvers, and I think Ty Coakley's had a great season. Receiver, running back, wide out. He's going to be a key. And the thing for Gloucester is going to be Gloucester's D. They've had a lot of problems down there. Tony Zerilli's done a great job. I really like the way he coaches. I like everything he says about his program. I'm very impressed with what he does down there, and the Gloucester D is going to have to really step up to stop a very strong Danvers team. And you go Nicky Berry over Beverly, and then you can go on over down to Pat Gillis down at Ipswich, and those are just a few of the names. Last one I can think of over at you got Masco, you got Devin Monacle, the coach's son, and then Jake Wilcott, who's got 25 touchdowns passes for Everett, who incidentally plays Masco Wednesday night at Fenway Park, which would be great. So it's going to be key, but once again, I'm going to go back to somewhere on the North Shore, some game, there's going to be somebody who's going to step up and make a big play that may turn the game around, and that's the unknown factor, which is great about high school sports.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned some of the coaches, and as I'm looking around, you know, there are so many coaches in my mind that have done a really good job this year. And I know sometimes we say that, we just kind of, we want to be nice, we're not here to criticize people, but seriously, the whole Lynn situation, boom, it's right there, all of those schools. You look at Marblehead with all the stuff that they've had, Coach Rudloff, obviously Bobby Serino and Swampscott, they could have almost crushed this year. They were so close to just crushing this year, but that's a program that's totally turned around this year. And then, of course, Matt Bouchard at Salem High School, and you can go kind of on and on. The old pro himself, Jim Pugh, a second year at Hamilton Wenham, boom, into the playoffs and advancing.
It's like reincarnated. He's done a great job. Wherever he goes, he wins. But you're right. I'm writing down some of the top coaches and their accomplishments, and I got 12 guys, for crying out loud. Who's going to be the coach of the year? You mentioned Serino, Rudliff, Brian Vaughn, Chris Carroll, Jimmy Pugh, Matt Bouchard, the new coaches, Ryan Nolan, Anthony Nalen, Tony Zerilli. Gloucester's done a great job keeping the program going, because I know he's down in numbers. And you can go on and on, and we don't want to leave anybody out, but these are some of the guys who've really turns the programs around. Teams who've been struggling a little bit, and for the first time in a long time, and you guys made a note of that last night, Thanksgiving Day games record-wise, they're much more competitive. They do mean something, because none of the teams, 2 weeks ago we had 16 possibly going to the Super Bowl. We have none. St. Mary's was the last one, and Lynn Tech, and they both got eliminated. So these games are their Super Bowls, and the teams that weren't going to go have a chance to upset, so it makes it very interesting. Just a few other notes, Billy. I want to give hats off to Kipp Academy. They've won 3 football games over in Lynn. They're the fifth team over in Lynn. Private school started a program. They got a beauty. 10 o'clock out at Milford. Oh, boy, wouldn't want to make that trip for Thanksgiving, their first Thanksgiving Day game. And then some of the longest games. English Land's probably the number one game. I thought it was Wellesley Needham. It's not. It's English, Boston English, Boston Land. They're playing the 131st game. You've got the most ties. Malden Medved have the most ties, second most ties in the state. And then you have the Beverly-Salem game, which is very, very close. And games that have been over 100 years, Beverly-Salem, Falmouth-Barnstable, Fitzwig-Leominster, and the Malden-Medved. So, and it's going to be very interesting. So you know how, and you can tell by my tone of my voice, is I'm really excited about Thanksgiving. And it's a great opportunity. It's a great tradition. And really, when we talk about is it dying, absolutely not, as far as I'm concerned. And this year proves it.
Yeah, you're fired up, John. You should have some turkey and take a nap or something.
Well, I had a couple cups of coffee, Billy, because I knew it was going to be with you. And trying to compete with you is always tough. The voice of the North Shore,
well,
Bill Newell.
Yeah, I have a couple.
Willie,
couple.
I may add. Yeah. Willie.
Well, no, that's Matt Williams is Willie.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was only Willie in, like, fourth grade, I think, when I was growing up. That was the only time. But with my teacher from Scotland.
You remember the name?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Jeffries, yeah.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Hats out to Mr. Jeffries. And a final note I want to make.
Actually, you know something? I was Billy. That's
you
what it was.
See?
I was Billy, not Willie.
We
had a Willie, though.
See, I'm the only one that I think that calls you Billy. But anyways, I want to give a happy Thanksgiving to Dick Lynch, coach of mine, who's really rebounding once again. Probably be at the game if he's not. I want to wish him and his family, Mike Lynch, as I said, I saw the other night. And I want to wish Coach Lynch and his family a wonderful Thanksgiving, as well as my own family, Debbie, and my daughter, Lindsay, and my two sons, John and Ryan. I got to get that in there, Bill.
You know, I might do a shout out too, John. We didn't rehearse this, Andy, but I think I'm going to do it myself because, you know, although Tim and I have been at the Lynn Classical Lynn English game since they built the new Manning Field with the configuration of MSO and so on, and who's doing what around the North Shore for coverage, and I've enjoyed it. But you know, for so many years I was at the Salem Beverly game, so I'm going to give a shout out to Coach Bill Hamer and Beverly and his family for what he did for that game for so many years. And, of course, the guy you already mentioned, Ken Perrone at Salem High School and his family, happy Thanksgiving for all that he did at Salem. And those guys had that game at the top year in and year after on the North Shore. Having said that, though, I will say some of the great – during that era, Salem Marblehead Swampscott had some fantastic games on Thanksgiving during that time. So – that would be what, the Kulovich era, and as well
as Ribbenacker and Bondilevich and Bush and
yeah,
so
Bill,
forth.
Bush,
and so
yeah, on. Bill right. Bush, yeah. Okay. All right, John, you have what's your plan for Thanksgiving?
I'm hoping to be over at Marblehead, and I'm going to sneak over there. Even if I'm working, I'm going to try to sleep over there. Somebody's going to probably hear this now, but I would like to, and I want to wish you and your family a Thanksgiving as well as everybody at MSO, Bill.
Okay. All right, John, thank you. That's John Squires talking Thanksgiving football. I'm Bill Newell on MSO News Sports.